It's a good thing, Baruch Shemai. It's a big schus for me to be here. Okay. I like talking about these topics, mostly because I'm talking to myself. I don't consider myself an expert on these things. There's a famous word of Yisrael Salanter. It's a famous word that he always says, that he gives a lot of mussar, and he said if it affects one person, it's worthwhile, and if that person is him, then that's enough. It's one of his. It's a beautiful word. And so I'm talking to myself. These are things everyone to hear more and more. And so what do I use when I talk about these things? Okay, so first of all, there are three books that you should know about. And one is
Rav Orlowick, Shlita.
Book, Raising Roses Among the Thorns, is just an awesome, fabulous book. You have to have that book. You want to read that book, the earlier the better. The book's mostly about parenting. He has one page about Shalom Bayis, which I quote a lot on here. And it's a tremendous book. Basically, being a good parent, being a good spouse, it means having good midos. And you work on the midos now. You have your kids a little, or you weren't zochet to have kids yet. You work on the midos now. It's a wonderful book. You have to have that book. You should read it. Your husband should read it. It's called Raising Roses Among the Thorns. Glenetter, I'll bring it next time, just to be sure you should see it. Then there are two books out there about the early parts of marriage. Then there's Rabbi Dr. Twersky. Rabbi Dr. Twersky Shlita, he's unbelievable. He's written dozens and dozens of books. Again, he has the experience, the Torah knowledge, the Chachmas Chaim. He has a book called The First Year of Marriage. Excellent book. Excellent book. I would encourage you to read it. It's called The First Year of Marriage. Very good book. I quote a few times from it here. And it's good for you to read. It's good for your husband to read as well. A third book, and this of all of them, there's a book, again, I'll bring it in next week. In the Beginning. In the Beginning, there are two women, Mrs. Einhorn and Mrs. Zimmerman. They have the best book. This book is a must. It's called In the Beginning. I quote a lot from it here. It is an excellent book. You should read it. Your husband should read it. It's a fabulous book, and it's worthwhile. Those are the three books that I use a lot. Aside from that, so I heard a shiur from Rav Lev Shlita 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago, which I quote a lot from. Just an amazing shiur on Shalom Bayis in my neighborhood. And because of my background, so I listen a lot to the YU Rabbanim, and you should just know there's Rav Willig and Rav Neuberger. The two of them speak so lemaisa, so clearly, such very good, you'll see for your husbands as well, about Shalom Bayis. And Rav Willig gave a shiur recently on Shalom Bayis. I just listened to it recently. I heard a shiur 20 years ago from YU Torah, and it's exactly the same ideas and the same story, and it's so powerful, and it's worthwhile to hear. And we have it at Rav Willig and Rav Neuberger. They're very, very good. Okay, let's begin. The Shalom Bayis in Raising Children. This is basically the structure of this class that I'm giving is the same structure Rav Lev used at the shiur that I went to recently. I just added a few things from other places. And we'll discuss from basic yesodos. You have to understand the connection between Shalom Bayis and raising children. All the books say, all the leading mechanchim say, and this I'm just quoting from In the Beginning, the best gift a husband and wife can give to their children is a healthy relationship with each other and a good marriage. That's just the way it is. That's the most important factor that you can have. All of us, everyone davens to be married, to have children, and children to be successful, religious, and emotionally settled, and psychologically settled, and balanced. That's what everyone davens for. And we live in a crazy world out there, and it's getting worse and worse, and crazier. And the best defense, there's no guarantees, the best defense against the outside world is a warm, happy, loving home. We're going to discuss that. Six reasons why. There are more reasons why. Six reasons why. And that's what it says in all the books In the Beginning. This is what Orlowick's famous line. The eight secrets. I mentioned it last year. The eight secrets that a person wants. The eight secrets of having successful children, religious and balanced and psychologically happy and settled and emotionally settled. What are the eight secrets of Orlowick always says? Shalom Bayis, 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 and Shalom Bayis. He says it all the time. It's one of his favorite lines. Rav Twersky. Rav Twersky has a few shiurim on the internet. He gave a shiur on Torah Web. So Rav Twersky has a class on Torah Web, and in the middle, he quotes from the book The Children in Crisis, which I haven't read yet. He said it's a very important book to read. And in that book, they say, mamash, word for word, that the best gift you can give to your children is a happy, settled home. And Rav Lev said the same thing at his speech. Everyone says this. You have to know the importance of this. And again, and we'll discuss why. But you know, you're trying to build a home, and when you're building a home for yourself, for your family, your husband, for your children, shalom bayis and simcha and warmth and love in the home is the basis for everything. Especially as the outside world gets crazier and crazier, children need a base at home. So let's go one at a time. Number one, simcha. Simcha has two parts to it. We want to train our kids to think that being religious and being besimcha go together. So you have religious homes. Baruch Hashem, religious homes, you keep halacha, the letter, the spirit, wonderful. If your home is full of simcha and love, then for 15, 16, 18, 20 years, your children are being trained that being religious and having a Torah home goes together with being happy and settled. And being besimcha goes together with being religious. And you can't beat that. That's 20 years of training. Now, if the house is full of fighting and there's yelling and there's tension, they're missing that base. This is a base for your whole life, that I'm trained in my life that being religious and being besimcha go together. And that's mamish, the ABCs. That's one major yesod. Number two, what Orlovic talks about, and this is in your on the source sheets, source number one, where it says letter A1 in source number one in the source sheets. The world says like this: we want to try to fight the effects of the street. Well, one way to fight the effects of the street is that our kids are at home. I want my kids spending time at home. My child wants to relax. Well, I want him to be happy relaxing at home. Well, if my house is full of tension, he's going to run away. If my house is pleasant, there's a better chance he'll be home. So if Orwick writes here, see in source number one where it says A1, it's circled, because that's A1. You see how it fits together with the source sheet? Okay, A1. One of the best ways to prevent the street from influencing our children is to have them at home when they're not in school as much of the time as possible. A number of factors can help you succeed at this, but the first requirement is that the home atmosphere is a happy one. And the greatest single factor in how it feels to be home is how parents get along with each other. You want your children to be happy spending at home. You control the environment, what's in your house. And so if your children are happy at home, you have a better chance of succeeding. Once they leave the house, you know, we don't control all our neighbors' environments as well. It's not the same. And I'm fortunate. My parents from one of the most wonderful homes around. Shalom bayis and warmth and love. And parents' home, it's warm, it's pleasant. And like, I'm just thinking to myself, I would never want to leave Shabbos afternoon. Why would I leave my house? That was without the TVs. So it was pleasant being in my parents' house. Now, it's okay if your kids play away from the house on Shabbos. That's okay. It's not. But if you feel if they're running away, so I would never want to run away. My parents' house was the most pleasant house. Even when I go back, it's just a pleasant place to be. So, but I remember for myself, I was always happy being at home. Even to read at home, to hang out at home, and it's better for you if your kids are at home. It's your environment, and you see what's happening. Okay, that's number one. The simcha of being religious, the simcha of being at home. And without shalom bayis, it's not going to happen. Number two, security. We live in a crazy world. Things are happening. Things are changing. And life is difficult sometimes, and challenges, and this. So it's important to have a base in your life. There's a place that I know. It's my security blanket. That's my home. That's where I feel secure. I feel comfortable. I feel calm. No matter how crazy the world is, I did badly on the test. I'm not getting into the high school I want to get into. What's happening in seminary next year? I got a bad grade. My friend's fighting me. So many things go on in life when kids are little. But if you have a security at home, that security of being at home changes. And again, I felt this way myself. Orlick gives a mushel. And I'll tell you, he gave a mushel. It's the airplane mushel. And his mushel is as follows. And again, back to source number one, letter A2. Children, especially younger ones, are terrified when parents quarrel. Their entire world is shaking. An analogy I once heard comes to mind. Two people are sitting on an airplane. They're getting ready for takeoff. One understands English, the other doesn't. An announcement comes over the PA system. In about 45 minutes, we'll be encountering turbulence. The plane will shake a lot, but we won't be in any danger. The turbulence is normal for this route at this time of year. When the plane begins to shake 45 minutes later, the one who understood the announcement remains calm. His fellow passenger, though, is petrified. He doesn't understand what is happening to the plane, which is the only thing standing between him and the deep blue sea. A child at home with marital discord can be compared to that baffled, terrified passenger. All he knows is his whole world is shaking. And it's like, where's your base? You have no base in your life. And the whole world outside, there are many things around that are challenging, and there's no base. So, okay, this is a Warwick's mushel. What he says around, I don't know, many years ago, I was talking to a student, and she had a difficult situation at home, and she started talking, and she said, you know, when I'm in my house, I sometimes feel like I'm an airplane. That's Mamish gave this mushel. I don't know what to do with this turbulence and this and that. And whatever Warwick's mushel. You want your kids to feel secure at home. It's a base. It's like, it's a, you know, like kid, one kid likes to read on his bed. He's comfortable. He has a base at home. No matter what's happening outside, some children like to listen to music. Maybe some want to learn. There's that, they have a base at home. They have that sense of security. Whatever's happening outside, I have this base, secure place at home. Number three, respect for your spouse. All of us want our kids to respect our parents, their parents, meaning you and your husband. And if you treat your husband with disrespect, you're training your kids to treat their father with disrespect. That's what you're doing. And shooting yourself in the foot, don't do that. If you can yell at your husband and in a way that's, you know, not appropriate, not proper, so what are your children learning from that? That they should respect Abba and do what he says and treat him properly? And it just doesn't make any sense. People don't realize. It doesn't make any sense at all. We have to train ourselves to treat our spouses with respect. So, and our children see, oh, if Ima treats Abba with respect, so Abba's someone who's worth respecting, and vice versa. Very, very important. And it's mama shooting yourself in the foot when you, if you do this. And it's a big, big mistake. Respect for you. This one's a little more subtle, but and very sharp. But Orwick points out as follows. Children, especially when they get older, they understand that a 12-year-old child, a 14-year-old child understands what it means to have control. You want your kids to have self-control. Well, if you're yelling because you lose control all the time, well, your child will lose respect for you. He understands what it means to have self-control. And if he sees you losing control, then he's going to lose respect for you, aside from for your husband. This is frightening. This is real life. Look at what Orwick says, A number four, diminished respect. Again, the source number one, where it says A4. Children can feel diminished respect for a parent who doesn't seem to be in control of himself. Children can be extremely judgmental. And without perceiving what may be an understandable reason for tenseness and impatience, they may feel that since their parents are incapable of handling their own emotions, they're not worthy of handling their children either. From such an attitude, brazen disrespect and disobedience are but a short step away. We're training our kids that we lose control. And you know, I try to train my own children, you know, to try to react calmly to things. So something, you know, you're driving somewhere and leave out some lies. You're driving somewhere and the whole family and it's this and then you get a flat tire. Oh no, you have a flat tire. You have kids in the car and it's hot and this. And you don't know how to change a tire. And well, that's a test for you. For you, it's a test, okay. And B, you're training your kids how to react to a difficult situation. If you go, what do I do now? What are we going to do? Oh, no. So then, that's how your kids are going to react. And if you react calmly, then you're training your kids to react calmly in a tough situation. So, very important. We're shooting ourselves in the foot when we yell at our spouse and mistreat our spouse and, you know, talk in an annoyed way all the time. Number five, self-esteem. Now, this can't be emphasized enough. If you had to have one sentence to capture many of Tversky's books, it's healthy self-esteem is crucial for children to face the world, face the modern world. So I've left quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah that the foundation of a Baruch Hashem is healthy self-esteem. Now, children know that they're their parents' children. If the children respect their parents, there's a much, much better chance that a child feels good about himself. If a child thinks, well, my parents aren't that great, they're always yelling at each other, they're always fighting, the chance of him or her feeling good about himself goes way down. And Rav Orwick just says this very directly. It's in a footnote here. In a footnote here in source number one again, letter A, number five, it's circled there. I think this is because of the feeling if my parent is a nobody, then so am I. That's the way it is. Our kids are going to reflect themselves based on the parents. And if I don't feel good about my parents, then it's much harder to feel good about myself. I know that I'm coming from my parents, and I don't want to feel, oh, my parents are bad and I'm bad. It's a whole psychologically. So if you're losing control all the time, and your parents see that your kids see you're not in control of yourself, then that's going to affect their own self-esteem in a big way. And you have to have a lot of self-esteem, healthy self-confidence to face the world and make the right decisions when there's pressures for this and pressures for that. And that's the foundation of everything. This is a big yesod. Just one comment about self-esteem versus gaiva. It's a side comment. And it's worthwhile hearing. So what's the difference between self-esteem and gaiva? Healthy self-esteem, you want kids to have healthy self-esteem. You don't want them to have gaiva. So Tversky talks about this all the time in his books. And I heard a definition from a friend of mine. His name is Rabbi Hillel Waxman. He's a Chofetz Chaim person. And Rav Lev said, Mamish, the same thing word for word. It's a beautiful definition. A person knows they have a good quality. A person's smart. A person is organized. A person has a talent, has a great musician, something. What's your next thought? If your next thought is, because I'm smart, because I'm organized, then, therefore, people should look up to me. People should, treat me differently. That's gaiva. If your next thought is, what privileges do I get because of my quality? That's gaiva. If your next thought is, what can I do with this? How can I use this? That's healthy self-esteem. If your next thought is, having this quality gives me additional responsibilities in life to use it, that's wonderful. You have a child who's very intelligent. And he knows he's intelligent. So then you say, let's use it in a good way. Help your friend study for a test. It's a perfect definition. If your next thought is, therefore, what do I deserve? That's gaiva. If your next thought is, therefore, what can I do with this? It's a privilege versus a responsibility. That's healthy self-esteem, and that's very good to have. It's good for kids to have. All right. I have wonderful parents, wonderful shalom bias. So my responsibility is to try to bring some of that to other people that they should... All right. Number 6, midos tovos. Now, we know that in Yadus, midos tovos is the name of the game. It's very important to... Rav Lev points this out, the Chofetz Chaim points this out, in the Hakdama to Sefer Avos Chesed, he points out, the Torah tells us why Hashem chose Avram to be the first Jew. The Torah tells us. And the Torah writes, because that Hashem knows how Avram would train his children in Stucca and Mishpat. And Stucca refers to having a good midos. The Torah tells us, let me just quickly, I forgot to write it down. And it's a pasuk which everyone should know about, and the Chofetz Chaim quotes it in Avos Chesed, and this the Torah tells us. In Brachos, Perek Yud Ches, pasuk Yud Ches and Yud Tes, 18:19. The Avram Hayo Yael Goy Gadol, Ba'atzum, Avram will be a great nation, the father of the Jewish people. Why? Ki, because, Yedativ, I know about him. L'man Asher Yitzav Es Banav Es Beis Rachrov, Lasos, Stucca u'mishpat. And the Chofetz Chaim interprets Stucca to be midos tovos. And Rav Lev quoted the same thing. So, we want our kids to have midos tovos. That's the ABCs of Judaism. Well, if we don't have them, how do we expect them to have them? It just doesn't make any sense. Your kids, kids tend to imitate their parents. And what do you expect from the child? If the parents are yelling all the time and losing control all the time at each other, you expect them to develop good midos, and that's the foundation of Judaism. The foundation of Yadus. Oh, Rav Lev went a little further. It's a deep vort. Mishpacha, mem shin pei ches hei. So is the same root as nispach. Nispach is nun sin pei ches. Nispach. A nispach is an attachment. When you have an attachment to a shear, a nispach, you attach it at the end. Rav Lev said a very deep idea. Why is mishpacha the same root as nispach, the same letters? Because families teach attachments. Where do you learn how do you react when there's an authority figure and someone who's under the authority figure? Where do you learn how to give instructions, how to take instructions? Where do you learn how to deal with someone who's your equal? Where do you learn how to argue in a way that's That's productive. You learn it from your family. You learn how to make attachments in life from your family. It's a very deep idea. Mishpacha and mispach. And so that's what our kids are learning. So let's say you and your husband have a disagreement. So how do you talk about it in a pleasant way? Can you talk about it? And your kids learn, oh, it's possible to have a disagreement and work it out and come to a conclusion. If you want something and he doesn't, and vice versa, and one of you is more firm, so how do you react when the other one's more firm? So our kids are learning how to deal with this from us. Mishpacha nispach, a very, very beautiful idea. All right. Those are six. There are many more connections between shalom bayis and raising children, and very, very, very important. This is something a person has to work on now, at the early parts of marriage, and you have to work on it your whole life. This is a famous board. I said it over last year. I just heard it again from Reb Neuberger. This is the famous board in the Sefer Sichos Musar at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, when the Malachim come to Avraham to tell him that you're going to have a son Yitzchak. So the Malachim ask Avraham, where's Sarah? So Avraham says she's in the Ohel. Rashi says, why they asked? They knew where Sarah was. So Rashi says, to make Sarah more endearing to her husband. Why? Because Sarah was where she was supposed to be, in the tent, you know, preparing the food, whatever she was supposed to be doing. So when the husband says, my wife's doing what she's supposed to be doing, that makes him feel good about his wife and more endearing to Abraham. Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 89. We're not sure when they got married, but they're married probably 50, 60 years. So Rav Neuberger said, you know, they don't know if Shalom Bayis yet, it's just not happening so fast. They're married 60 years. So what's happening in Rashi? What's going on over here? The Malachim are trying to create, there's a beautiful board, more Shalom Bayis for Avram and Sarah. They're married 50 years already. So the answer is, yeah, Shalom Bayis is so important. You can have a wonderful marriage and you should always be working on more and more how to make things even better. And not that it's a burden, Adarabba. It's something you want to always make better and better. Rav Neuberger's angle was that the home can be a mukam for the Shechina. That's the famous word, that Ish and Isha together, the Yud and the Hay, can come together to make the Shechina. So you want to bring the Shechina to your house more and more and more. So the Malachim meet Abraham. He's married 50 years maybe. And they're thinking out of the box, what question can we ask that might create more Shalom Bayis for Avram and Sarah? And that's what they do. And that's the Sichas Musa points that out of Chaim Shmulevitz in the beginning of Parshas of Vayera. So this year is good for now. It's good for 20 years, for 40 years, many, many years. Okay. Okay, some practical ideas about Shalom Bayis.